News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Both Dalton and I would say Dalton even more than me, fascinated with this gigantic blue crane. There's two buildings here on Western America Circle, two six-story buildings, office buildings. It's kind of like the twin buildings. Mm-hmm. But they're doing, what are they doing over there?
Oh, well, they've got a massive crane, and you're looking at a five-story building, and they're getting ready to, it looks like, take some AC units down from the top.
Oh, wow.
So that could be entertaining, and fortunately for me, my truck is right in the way.
Well, Quinn, I know we've got some stories to talk about. It looks like later on today we can talk about the destruction of Dalton's truck, but that hasn't happened yet. Quinn Hillier with QuinnHillier.com and the Washington Examiner. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys. Hope you're all doing well.
Yeah, we are doing well. Thank you. The weather's beautiful, and we're in a good mood here.
Yeah, and plenty to talk about with you this week, including as we look towards November and what should be a pretty tight race for Alabama Congressional District 2, but I want to start with some of the more recent news and the thing that's been getting all the headlines, these anti-Israel protests on college campuses, but not just college campuses. We're seeing very elite, quote-unquote elite schools, including Yale and Columbia, that are seeing even what they're calling violence from some of this.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan in 1970, dealt with this kind of issue. He called the protesters roving bands of fascists, and he sent in the police, and he was right. There is a right to speak. There is a right to protest. There is a right to assemble. There is no right to deny other rights to others. There is no right to trespass. There is no right to physically blockade anything. There is no right to deliberately threaten or even deliberately intimidate. All of those things are not free speech. Those are actions that are criminal, and you need to treat them as criminal. And to have any of these college administrators putting up with this stuff, much less what Columbia did, which is saying we're going to have all the rest of our classes online instead of in person because we cannot guarantee your security. And then to have a prominent Jewish professor banned from campus because they can't protect his or guarantee his security, and they turn off his identification card while still allowing the protesters to have theirs. This is insanity. This is anti-civilizational, and it is despicable. And they need, if they will not guarantee security, those administrators need to be fired, and fired immediately.
It is just so topsy-turvy completely that these presidents of these universities somehow feel hamstrung, where they're powerless to this group that's out of control.
Either that, or they agree with the protesters in some cases.
Mm. Well, that's horrifying.
Well, there's also the problem with prosecutors like Alvin Bragg in New York, who has a blanket policy that after booking people, he then, you know, so that there's some kind of record that they were arrested, he then has a blanket policy of not prosecuting people involved in, mass civil disobedience. Why? In fact, mass civil disobedience of the kind that these people usually do violate the rights of innocent people more than all sorts of things that he probably does prosecute. When these people go and they close bridges, when they close major intersections, they could be killing people because people in ambulances needing to get to hospitals, people driving their wives, trying to get them to the hospital to have their children.
Birth, yeah.
You know, they're also costing people jobs. People on their way to job interviews. Who knows what it is? You are hurting innocent people by doing this, and you do not have the right to do this. And you should be arrested. You should be booked. You should be charged. You should be prosecuted, and you should be convicted, and you should spend time in prison.
Quinn, we're talking with Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner. QuinnHillier.com. I do think it's notable. You mentioned the Jewish professor. They locked him out of campus, ended his card. You know, just a few years ago, he was all on board the Black Lives Matter protests. He was anti-colonialist then, quote-unquote anti-colonialist, and completely on board with those demonstrations and protests, which, again, turned violent then. But now, he's on the other side of it. And I think that's happening in many different places where you have these ultra-liberal, and sometimes they are Jewish, professors or administrators. And now they're seeing that these protests aren't just anti-white.
It might have been people
anti-Israel.
This could be the same people that he was protesting alongside.
Yeah, it definitely was.
4 years ago.
So that kind of it creates an interesting dynamic there, I think.
That's a great question, and you know, maybe these idiots will start to learn something. And look, if I sound harsh, I don't care.
No, I mean, no. Go get them.
Outrageous, and it is just as outrageous when Black Lives Matter protesters or Antifa people go to coffee shops and innocent businesses and smash in their windows or whatever, you know, vandalism they do to completely innocent people in order to have their little rage fest. It's time to crack down. If you want to, you can say whatever you want as long as you don't threaten somebody, blockade somebody, you know, or otherwise break the law. You can speak. You can't threaten, intimidate, blockade. It's simple. There's a difference between speech and action.
Quinn, I want to play this too, because all of the talk, remember, every protest Trump had to answer for while he was in office, whether he was for or against it and why. And they asked Biden yesterday. He was at this Earth Day event, and I'm hoping, Quinn, you'll be able to hear this audio.
Yeah,
I'll explain it if you can't. But he was at this Earth Day event, and for some reason there's classical music playing behind him. But he was asked about these protests, and he gave his own good people on both sides kind of answer.
He sure did.
Do you condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses?
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being.
Should the Columbia University president resign?
I didn't know that.
Should she resign?
So he says, I condemn the anti-Israel protests. Okay, and then that Columbia professor, they've got her 20 years ago, just after 9/11, saying that terrorism is an act of protest, basically. But Biden kind of given the same answer that Trump was reamed for over Charlottesville years back.
And Biden is, well, what Trump said was actually a little worse, but not much. And what Biden said is inexcusable as well. When one side is clearly abusing the rights of another, when they are threatening another, then you don't take the time to then say, oh, but there are other victims too over there, which basically means that you are throwing in some sort of, you know, moral equivalence between basically the anti-Semites and the people that the anti-Semites are threatening, harassing, abusing, sometimes attacking. There is no moral equivalence, and for a president of the United States to suggest that there is disgusting.
I saw a stat recently that less than 1% of faculty at Harvard consider themselves conservative.
Mm.
Less than 1%.
That's crazy.
Okay. Where is the diversity?
Exactly. There is no diversity in thought. Also, Quinn, what's going to be the cost? And you put it in any fashion, dollars to not let fewer people seeking to enroll there. What's going to be the cost at places like Columbia and Harvard and Yale? How are they going to feel the effects of this earthquake?
And Columbia's already lost donations from Robert Kraft, New England Patriots owner, who's a big-time donor there.
There you go.
Here's what I would do, first of all, as a policymaker. I would limit the amount of student loans. Rather than forgiving student loans on the back end for all these deadbeats who won't pay, I would limit the amount of student loan, which means that you would suddenly stop subsidizing the Harvards and Columbias of the world. And if Harvard and Columbia want to use their gazillion-dollar endowments to give scholarships, that's good and that's fine, but the public should not be funding scholarships for the amounts of extra money these colleges charge just for the benefit of their name, of having their name on your diploma, when they're giving a worse education now than most of the state colleges in the country.
And that's what I was thinking.
Because they're pushing this hateful stuff, this hateful message that the world is divided into oppressed versus oppressors, that everybody should be determined and treated based on immutable characteristics, their group identities rather than as individuals, and all the rest of this neo-Marxist garbage.
Are they so well endowed that they don't need when money dries up in this corner or that corner, it really doesn't matter much to them? And the other thing, when you talk about the name, aren't they actually, and do they realize, they're harming the name? The name means everything to a Yale or a Harvard. Look at us. We're Harvard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're looking at you. Not so impressed.
Exactly. Well, that's what's going to happen is their name has been good for, 200 years or more. When now only it's in the last 5 or 6 years mm-hmm. that people are starting to say, if this is what your name means, not only do we, are we not super impressed, but we despise it.
Right.
And they're going to lose mm-hmm. their credibility. And meanwhile, the federal government should not be subsidizing that credibility by giving, you give a $70,000 loan to somebody to go to Columbia where you'd only have to give a $20,000 loan for them to go to Auburn or Alabama. You know what? You can take your $20,000 loan and go to a school that's at least slightly less likely to fill your head full of hate.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes me most mad about this entire thing. And even before these protests, it's, do whatever. I don't care. You're Yale, you're Harvard. Never even been there. But it's our taxpayer money that the federal funding for these prestigious universities far outpaces the endowments. And then, as Gardner points out on the text line, you have all this money coming from other countries as well, Muslim countries, Chinese, China sending a lot of money to these universities. It's basically out of the hands of America at this point. And we're paying to send these scumbags that hate America through school so that they can, become your doctor or whatever it may be. It's just, it's incredibly frustrating. And by the way, all these tents popping up, I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, these students didn't all have tents 2 weeks ago.
All the tents look alike. In fact, look at the Washington Examiner today. I think it's our paper that has a story about the same left-wing donors financing all of this.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know there was a Dick's Sporting Goods a block from campus. All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. Quinn will talk about District 2 here in a moment. Okay. Just give us a break, and we'll be right back with you, okay?
Okay.
If you want to text, you can, 251-343-0106.
821 on Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5, and we roll on right after this.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, 825 on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, continuing our conversation with Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, where you can read his work. Also, quinnhillier.com. Sign up for the newsletter there. And, Quinn, we didn't get the chance to talk last week. That would have been the lead-in to the AL2 primary runoffs on the Republican and Democrat side. And Caroline Dobson pulls off what I would consider an upset. And now she will face Shamari Figures in that AL2 race. That's setting up for a barn burner, I should say, coming up in November.
Well, yes, although Republicans need to be worried now, because whereas in the first primary, the number of total votes cast on the Democratic side was only like 1,000 more than on the Republican side, in the runoff, there were 12,000 or 14,000 more votes cast on the Democratic side than the Republican side. That means that the Democrats are more active and better organized. And that has to worry Caroline Dobson and the Republicans, especially because the registration figures already favor the Democrats in that district. And what the Republicans were saying is, okay, well, they, you know, it might slightly favor the Democrats on registration, but our enthusiasm and our turnout is going to be higher. Well, that didn't happen in the primary runoff. And they need to figure out why, if they want to have any chance against Shamari Figures.
Yeah, and it was actually, you know, it was a lot closer than that in the initial primary. It was just 100 votes, more or less, that separated the two parties. Okay. But, yeah, I'm not sure what to make of this, so many more Democrats turning out for the runoff. And I'm, with this being an election with president and the former president on the ballot in November, I just have trouble believing that Republicans won't turn out in just as high numbers. But you think that might have actually meant something, those primary runoff numbers?
Well, look, the Republicans have to turn out at a much higher percentage in the fall than the Democrats do in order for it to be a 50-50 race in the actual number of, I mean, the actual votes cast. Okay, because the voter registration right now heavily favors the Democrats in that district. Well, if they are going to be able to do that, they need to be able to enthuse their voters much more than they did in what should, on paper, have been a very, very active, tight runoff. And they didn't do it, and they've got to figure out why.
And it turned out, I think, the biggest difference was that Brubaker's voters didn't turn out. Mm-hmm. He lost about 12,000 votes between the primary and the primary runoff. Do you think Dobson can pull this off again?
I don't know. Look, she ran a very energetic campaign. She also took some absolutely cheap shots, which I've against Brubaker, which I documented. But she ran a very spirited, active, organized race, and that's what she's going to need in the fall if she's going to have a chance. Shamari Figures did a very good job getting his vote out. He's got a very well-known name in these parts, and, you know, the Democrats are going to want to pick up this seat, and so there's going to be a lot of national Democratic money flowing in to support Shamari Figures.
Quinn, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Thank you. Back with you next week, okay?
Thanks.
All right.
All right, Quinn Hillier. You can read his work at the Washington Examiner and quinnhillier.com. And right now, your chance to win a pair of tickets. Judas Priest, Breaking the Law. They will be at the Mobile Civic Center Arena May 12th. The Invincible Shield Tour with special guest Sabaton. And right now, your chance to win tickets. 251-343-0106. Caller number 4. Pair of tickets to see Judas Priest and Sabaton, the Mobile Civic Center Arena, May 12th. You can purchase tickets at the Civic Center box office.
It is nearly 8:30. We'll call it 8:29 right now with Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings and FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Congratulations, Hal. Got a pair of tickets to see Judas Priest and special guest Sabaton. They'll be at the Mobile Civic Center Arena May 12th. The Invincible Shield Tour USA 2024. You can purchase tickets at the Mobile Civic Center box office. Again, that show May 12th, and we'll be giving away a pair of tickets every single day from here through next week to get you ready for that concert. Hey, this segment brought to you by Tobias and Comer Law, the great folks over there at the local personal injury law firm. They'll help guide you through your case from the time you first talk until it's over, and they don't pass that responsibility on to some lawyer you've never met who may not even be from the area. No, they're from here. They work here. They sleep here, go to church here, all of it, and shopping amongst us in the grocery stores. And then in their day job, they're helping get fair compensation for you. From car to boating accidents, defective products, to workplace accidents and maritime injuries, Tobias and Comer Law has seen it all. And they're so good, they're up again for a couple of nappy nominations this year. You can vote for Brian Comer for Best Personal Injury Attorney and Tobias and Comer Law for Best Personal Injury Law Firm. Check them out online, tobiascomerlaw.com, and you can call at any time for a free consultation. That number is 251-432-5001. Again, the website, tobiascomerlaw.com.
Well, I go to the text line, and I guess we'll have to consult a travel agent or just get some tickets online.
Are there still travel agents
out
there?
There are. A lot of them specialize in cruises.
Okay, that makes sense. Actually, now that I think about it, my wife was going through a bit of a travel agent to book our Disney trip here in the next couple of years.
Special trips like that, yeah. They're still, and I've had travel agents help me out in a pinch on my way from point A to point B, and I'm hung up at an airport, and they were able to take care of things so I could...
Oh, nice. Continue.
Yeah, they can do stuff in the middle of your trip if it's getting all haywire. Dalton, you and Dan should go to Columbia University, go up there, and uncover...
Go undercover.
Undercover. And I'm going to play...
He said, go undercover and find out who's funding the protesters.
Funding the protests. So there's a lot on our plate with that. Thank you. I will play undercover. I will play a kind of a semi-retired, drunken Irish professor.
Okay.
So that'll be my role.
You're the Irish anti-Israel... okay.
You know, like the poet laureate or something like that.
You're like Robin Williams in, okay, what was the movie where he was the professor? I could see that.
Yeah.
I would just, you know, I think because so many of these protesters are trying to dress up like Hamas or Hezbollah, mm-hmm. that'd be a pretty easy undercover job, I think. You just put the thing on your head and let it rip, I think.
I think. I don't know.
So.
Anyway, thank you. That comes from Ed.
Great idea.
Ed has got... Well, a lot more confidence in us than he should.
Yeah, we would be like 21 Jump Street.
Exactly. it would turn into, like, if you could film it, it would become a comedy. So we're not going to do that.
T-Bone said these protesters camping are really intense. You get it?
Ah.
We set T-Bone up for
okay,
that.
Okay, there's your dad joke.
It is, do you really think that these are, like, that's their... these very liberal college students who just a few years ago were insisting they needed safe spaces on campus to mm-hmm. protect them from words. I forget what exactly.
Yeah, that's very true.
Seeing people that they don't like.
Very true.
And I just have all the trouble in the world envisioning that when they wrap up class on Friday, they're like, hey, y'all going camping with us this weekend? Let's break out the tents like we do every week and go hiking and go camping. I don't think they're doing... These tents came from somewhere. And maybe there's a Target or a Dick's Sporting Goods, or they have Hibbett Sports up there. I don't know. Maybe they are just selling tents left and right. But I think that a lot of these protests obviously are coming from well-organized teams that have a lot of money that are putting these on. And I was trying to scope
out. Feels like there's a little tinge of Antifa in here. By the way.
No doubt. And I was trying to scope out some of those tents just to see what kind of brands we're working with. I didn't see any Ozark Trails or, mm-hmm. you know, any. One of the tents I looked up, I forget what the brand was, you could see in a picture, but it was $150 from Target.
Mm-hmm.
And
an investment.
Rashida Tlaib's daughter, who was arrested.
Yeah.
And now she's saying she's broke, like she can't afford to be on the streets or something like that. I doubt, our hearts are breaking. First off, I think she's lying. Second off, I think that it is probably pretty accurate that a lot of these students don't have spending money, although a lot do come from, they come from really well-off families, and now they're anti, you know, anti-white, anti-Israel.
Anti-making a dime.
And so I think a lot of these students probably don't have the cash to buy the tents. And even if they did, they wouldn't spend that money buying tents. They're all coming from somewhere. This was all planned.
Yeah. It's very interesting the way this thing is. And the one thing is, you know what they need? They needed Barney Fife, because he would nip it. And that's exactly what has happened to these things. They've grown because they weren't nipped early. Mm-hmm. And you have presidents. Look, Columbia is in the middle of New York City. You know what New York City has? A police department.
Yeah, a pretty big one, right?
I think so.
The NYPD there. Let's know on the text line if our audio is sounding a little funky. We just had a little something fun go on there.
Yeah,
but
let us know what you see.
And they nipped it at Vanderbilt, right? And Jeff went to the Vanderbilt football game this fall. There was, after that October 7th thing, there was a bit of a protest then. But then they rebounded and had another anti-Israel protest here recently, and Vanderbilt threw them out of the school. They were just like, you're arrested, you're expelled. You're arrested, you're expelled. And I don't think it's continued to go on since then. So that's what you're saying, is if they would have gotten ahead of this.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
But I keep pointing to the sob story. And sure, I'm sure it's sad on some level. But this professor, who's apparently Jewish, who is getting all of the media attention because, was it Columbia or I forget which school it was.
It was Columbia.
Basically didn't allow him back in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's crying and complaining about it. But they went through his social media history. And just a couple years ago, he was all for violent protests. He was Black Lives Matter, where you have the fully blacked out social media avatar to show your support, anti-white rhetoric.
Anti-colonialism.
And I guess all of these very liberal Jewish professors didn't think that they would be in the crosshairs one day. And that's exactly what's happened.
You couldn't be. They are directly in the crosshair now. They are the hated ones. They are the oppressors. And so welcome to town, buddy.
Yeah, I guess so. Fire Dog says, not only are we subsidizing these radical colleges, but we're going to be forgiving their loans if Biden wins a second term. I can't get over those stories I had a couple weeks ago. And I know everyone knows we're paying out the butt in taxes all the time. But that on average, a third of your entire life earnings, on average.
Yeah.
Will go towards paying taxes.
Taxes, yes.
And right now, 40% of those taxes are going towards the interest on U.S. national debt. So 40% of the taxes you pay, which make up a third of your lifetime earnings, are going towards paying down interest on national debt. A lot of that other taxpayer money that you're sending is going to these universities, sure, but also nonprofits, what NGOs happened? That are explicitly anti-America, and we're funding it in many forms and fashions.
And if you want to talk about left-leaning ideology, how about NPR? So you have the whistleblower come in,
mm-hmm.
and he blows the whistle, and he blows it hard, and it's but
he's out.
He's out. Right. He's out. But what he kind of put a spotlight on that is, again, irrefutable. Not even debatable. This is the way NPR was handling things back around 2020, I guess it was.
The CEO, right?
Yeah, just squashing anything Biden and promoting anything criminally against Trump. So we know it happened, and yet that's taxpayer-funded media. That's dangerous, right? Taxpayer-funded media. Think about that. Media, now social media as well, amplifies everything.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly are you amplifying?
Yeah.
Some things that maybe I don't agree with, or some things that are left-leaning that are maybe dangerous, like we're seeing on these campuses right now. So anyway, there's Bob Good. He's a House Freedom Caucus chair from Virginia. He's calling for an end to taxpayer-funded media.
Yeah.
And so he's
they say that.
No, it's not going to happen.
They break it out every 4 years.
He's trying to take the podium here while it's all in the news.
Well, you know, the ace in the hole.
The actual news.
The ace in the hole for them, though, has always been Big Bird. Whenever you bring up defunding PBS or defunding NPR, oh, you want to kill Big Bird, mm-hmm. huh? You hate the kids? That's what always ends up, you know, coming out. Really, the only thing that public broadcasting, I think, has brought to us is Big Bird and the Antiques Roadshow. There may be a couple other shows on there that are all right. But well,
they used to have some lovely Lawrence Welk from back in the day. You know, some of those who are trying to age gracefully are sitting in their home wondering where the Lawrence Welk show is. It's on PBS.
But that's completely emblematic of this entire thing, is people get up in arms and they're like, hey, look, our NPR is explicitly anti-conservative. And, I mean, the CEO was writing about dreams she was having where she was selling nuts roadside with Kamala Harris, like, completely, and yeah. had blocked Donald Trump, who was the Republican nominee. So are you a truthful journalist? But they know that they're not, and they don't care that you notice. And when that happens, it's the whistleblower who's out. Yeah. They're not going to make any changes at NPR.
Yeah.
Why would they? Well, they're doing exactly what they want to do.
Well, they're doing what they think is needed. They're doing what they think is needed.
Yeah, they're doing what they think is right.
This country cannot have Donald Trump. And so instead of just people going to vote what they think is right, anybody voting for Trump, of course, is a MAGA racist mm-hmm. hater and all that stuff. There's no other reason that you would vote for Donald Trump when he's making such a stink in this nation and making people very uncomfortable. A lot of people had very, very just... They had their own reasons for Trump, and it wasn't a love for all his rhetoric. It was just one thing. Put the mirror, you know, take a look in the mirror. A lot of these policies and a lot of these left-leaning agendas are, people are uncomfortable with that. Yeah. So you have a guy who's can be kind of nuts. People are more comfortable with him than they are with where you're going with this country.
Mm-hmm.
So just think about that.
Yeah. Maybe look at the mirror every now and then. And also with these protests, it needs to be noted, and I wish some senators would start talking about this on the national stage. Where are these anti-Semitic protests happening? They're not happening in the deep red Nazi MAGA,
yeah.
The way they've painted Trump followers for 8-10 years now. That's not where these
kill
the Jews rallies are happening.
Yeah.
They're happening in these liberal enclaves that are, like you said, 99%, less than 1% of the professors
at Harvard.
At Harvard are conservative.
The professors or the faculty? Probably just professors.
So maybe he's already out there saying it, but I want to see Tuberville. I want to see some of our voices who represent the states that are red, saying, hey, you notice where these anti-Semitic protests are happening? They're not happening in the area of the country that you have deemed basically Nazi, MAGA red. They're happening in your backyard.
Yeah. It's not happening in Macon, Georgia. It's not happening in Iowa City. It's not happening in...
Not happening in Montana, I don't think.
Montana. It's not happening... Now, University of Texas... You know, that's a pretty big place, but I haven't seen a lot of that activity there. It's a big place, big campus.
Austin, of course.
A lot of left-leaning, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it could possibly, but just that's a Democratic city, Austin. But for the most part, you're exactly right. It's not happening in, thank God, Mobile, Alabama. I haven't seen it, and my walks do take me in the area of Spring Hill College very often.
Yeah, and if they did happen... I don't even think people would just be like, what the heck's going on? Like,
yeah.
Just walk right on by.
Yeah, probably so. 849 FM Talk 106.5.
Coming up, more Mobile Mornings on the way. We'll read some of your texts and preview the Jeff Poor Show. And if we can, get a look at what the Supreme Court is doing this week.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. 854 on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. What's going on, man?
We got the Jeff Poor Show coming up next, and guests on Jeff's show include Stephanie Holden Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute in hour number one, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 and 1819 News joins Jeff in hour number two, and then the Alabama GOP chairman John Wall in hour number three, and that'll set us up for a Wednesday tomorrow with Jeff in Montgomery, as today 24th, I want to say, legislative day in session, and they get 30 of them, so it should be a busy day in Montgomery today, and Jeff will have plenty on that tomorrow as well. It's been a busy week in the Supreme Court, too, and won't get any less busy. Thursday, Supreme Court set to hear arguments to determine whether Trump is immune from prosecution in the federal case that charged him with plotting to overturn the 2020 election. And this,
that's Atlanta, right? That's one in Atlanta or no?
It could have an effect on the Atlanta case, but this has more to do with the D.C. case and maybe the Mar-a-Lago case, if I understand correctly. But certainly the D.C. case. And this might be the biggest ruling from the Supreme Court in a very long time. So they're going to hear these arguments on Thursday. If they act quickly, then there may be more trials before November. But if they take their time and maybe wait until late June, then it's very likely that the election that's currently going on in Manhattan is the only one to go to trial before the November general election. So many different ways that that's a big deal coming up. And I think this was a big case as well, and is. They haven't ruled on it yet, but according to reports yesterday, the Supreme Court appeared poised to clear the way and allow cities in the United States to restrict homeless encampments by allowing local laws that ban public camping to take effect. And I know there have been several states and cities around the Southeast that have moved to do this previously. Remember, was it Ben Reynolds who brought it up here in Mobile?
It was one of the brand new elected councilmen, and I guess it was
camping in right-of-ways or something like that.
I think it was Ben.
I can't remember what the result of that was. Florida most recently did this ban on quote-unquote camping, which is basically, you know, these homeless encampments. But the one that brought this case to the Supreme Court actually came from Oregon, a city called Grants Pass. And homelessness is a bad enough issue out there. And even in California, where Gavin Newsom is backing this, he's like, yeah, we need to be allowed to ban homeless encampments. And same thing
for
Democrats in Oregon. Well, they passed this measure in Grants Pass. It barred camping or sleeping on public property or city parks. They defined a campsite as any place where bedding, sleeping bags, or other materials used for bedding purposes or any stove or fire is placed. But then this went up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they didn't allow it. They said that it was a violation of the Eighth Amendment's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishments. But then Republicans and Democrats appealed that, and it headed to the Supreme Court. They're saying the Chief Justice, also Gorsuch, and fellow conservatives Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas appeared swayed to the Grants Pass side of the argument. The three liberal justices were more openly against the Oregon measure, and they're expected to make a decision in that also by the end of June. But I think this is great. Cities should be allowed to make laws and enforce those laws.
Yeah, depending on the, you know, whatever. But especially if you have, if you've got a crisis in your city, like right now, like you can begin to do something about it. And they're looking for some relief in that small town in Oregon.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully they get it. And I don't know, homelessness obviously a major, major problem. HUD tracks that. They said homelessness up 12% from 2022 in 2023. About 650,000 people lacked a permanent place to live.
There are certain cities, too, where it's up much more than that. L.A., it's through the roof, and there are neighborhoods now that you couldn't even identify if you took a picture of it from 10 years back.
Man.
It is 8:59, and Jeff Poor is on the way next.